Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And if you missed any past episodes, you can find those online at kpcg.fm or thetrumpet.com. We've got podcasts there. And that goes for all of the programming here on KPCG. Well, we live in what is known as the information age. That's the age that we find ourselves living in today. And it goes by other names as well. It can be called the computer age or the digital age. And I think you know what that means. I mean, we all have access to the internet and to information that comes through the internet on various devices. And today, many teenagers can't remember a time before smartphones. If you're older like me, you do remember a time before smartphones. But many teens don't even know of a time before that. They're so used to information. They're so used to the way they can access all sorts of information anytime they want to. Now, this information age began in the late 20th century. This age is characterized by a rapid shift from the traditional industry established by the Industrial Revolution to an economy primarily based upon information technology. Many people work online, they go to school online, and some even date online. And in short, there is a wealth of information, and it's easily accessible. You can look up just about anything you want to and find information on it. But the question becomes, what's true information? And what's false information? What's of value? And what is not valuable or just a flat-out lie? There's a lot of false information that's out there. God's Word, the Holy Bible, foretold of a time like this. It foretold of this time that we're living in today. Notice this passage in Daniel 12. And we have a few passages today, and if you'd like to look these up with me, please do so. Daniel 12 and verse 4 says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And so it's talking about the time of the end here, this time right before Christ returns. And one of the hallmarks of this time is that knowledge shall be increased. So there's knowledge exploding everywhere. Now, a person could say, well, knowledge has always increased a little bit. Maybe so, but not like this. This is a different age. This is an age of exploding information availability. People can get information anywhere they want to, just about, on just about any topic. And so this time was foretold. But knowledge has to come from the right source. There's a lot of false knowledge. There is knowledge that wastes time, clutters the mind, the latest entertainment news, for example. You know, there's always some story about some entertainer doing something. False knowledge can be deceptive. For example, the theory of evolution. That's something that many people subscribe to, and they think it's correct. But it's false information. God's people need to acquire knowledge that is built on the right foundation. Knowledge is a wonderful thing, but it has to be built on the right foundation. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, that's free at thetrumpet.com. If you don't have that, please sign up for it. It says, stop and think. Stop and think. We could have a whole show maybe just on that. How often do we just stop and think? It said, would a creator, having supreme intelligence, wisdom, and love to think out, to plan, design, and bring about all creation, this earth and all life upon it, have left human beings in ignorance of his purpose, the purpose of their being here, and the laws that would bring them the peace, happiness, joy, and everything good that men have been striving to attain since the beginning? I mean, would God do that? Why would God make man and then leave him in the dark? He hasn't done that. He does give us his knowledge. God reveals himself as not only our creator, but also our educator. Also our educator, but we have to have an attitude of wanting to be educated by God. And he has to, of course, open our minds up to that truth, to his truth. Notice Isaiah 1 and verse 18. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Eternal. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So God's saying, look, come and reason with me. Let's reason together here. Let's think about these things. I want to give you some information. We have to come and reason with God. Mr. Fleury writes this in his free book, Isaiah's End Time Vision. Again, that's at thetrumpet.com. Please request that if you don't have it. He writes, "God is the only great teacher. Each one of us must learn what it means to be taught by God. That is our individual responsibility. It is also the most thrilling and exhilarating experience humans ever have." To be taught by God, what an experience. Now you can look at Isaiah 28 and verse 9, where we are instructed to mature spiritually, to grow in understanding God's word more and more. So if your mind's open to God's truth, then you still have to keep growing, you still have to keep learning and maturing. That's something that God's people have to do. There's always more depth and insight that God's word can teach us if we are looking to him and studying his word, the Holy Bible. There's no end to the depths of it. You know, you can read a proverb or something that you've read thousands of times in your life and get more out of it each time. Get more out of it each time. I know that as I've gotten older and I've had more life experience, different passages, they are deeper in their meaning to me than they were when I was younger because of the life experience that I have. We have to keep growing. We have to keep learning. We have to keep digging into God's word. And there's so much information out there today that we can become quite distracted if we're not careful. God loves knowledge. He loves it. He created it. Right knowledge, true knowledge. But that's the point. It has to be true knowledge. So why did God inspire the Bible to be written? Let's stop and think about that. Why is it there? Why do we have it? Well, the correspondence course notes this. The Bible is simply God's divine revelation, the basic needed knowledge that man is not capable of finding out for himself by any other means. Now, there's a lot of depth to that understanding. If we think about this, we could sum it up this way. Spiritual knowledge is something that can't be discovered by the five senses. You know, God created mankind with five senses. And we can learn a lot about the physical environment with those senses. But we can't understand spiritual knowledge through those five senses alone. You know, our sense of touch very quickly tells us that fire is hot. Right? If you've ever gotten close to heat, a heat source, you know, oop, that's hot. I'm going to stay away from that. You learn that very early on. Don't touch it. It's too hot. And if you accidentally touch it, you don't want to make that mistake again. But yet, some people intentionally set damaging fires, right? We know that fire is hot. We know that if it's not controlled, it destroys things. We know that from our five senses. But yet, some people still go ahead and set fires and burn things and kill people. And they do it on purpose. Why do some people do that? Our five senses would tell us that doesn't make any sense. Fire's hot, it hurts. Why would somebody do that? Well, that's spiritual knowledge. We have to understand the spiritual knowledge. We have to understand what's going on in the heart, the mind of man, that there are influences there, and they can be positive from God or they can be very negative from Satan. You know, we can't understand the cause of thinking that is so bizarre and twisted unless we learn from God's revealed knowledge that there is a devil that broadcasts evil moods and impulses. You know, people will do some terrible things. And people just sort of sit there and look at it and say, why would somebody do that? There's no reason for that. It makes no sense. But when we understand Satan broadcasts, then it begins to become clear why some of those things happen. That's spiritual knowledge. That's revealed knowledge. The Correspondence Course says, God equipped human beings with the powers and abilities to discover and use the laws of science. But absolutely no tools or instruments of science can ever tell you if there is life after death, the purpose of your being alive, where you are going, or the way to be happy, abundant, and peaceful life here and now. So the Bible reveals all of the answers to life's most important questions. But in this information age especially, the Bible is almost completely ignored. The only time I see the Bible being brought up is usually in some sort of a controversial news story. You know, maybe there'll be a headline occasionally saying, you know, well, somebody says we're in the end times, or is this disease epidemic a plague from God? And they kind of look at it as sort of a curiosity, and maybe somebody has an opinion or a thought on that. But they don't really look into the Word of God, not for any answers, not for any solutions, not for the way to live. But the Bible reveals all of the answers to life's most important questions. The challenge for us is to use the Bible correctly, to really put time into it when there's so much other information out there that is vying for our attention. There's so much out there screaming for us to pay attention to it. Entertainment, news, and of course news is good. It can be very good because we do have to watch and pray as Christ instructed, but we can also get overly consumed with it. Or we can look at news that's just quite honestly not accurate. There's a lot of false information out there. We have to be very careful, and we have to make sure that nothing gets in the way of the time we spend studying God's Word. The Bible is a living book. And what does that mean? What constitutes a living book? Well, one person described a living book this way, and I thought it was a pretty good quote. It's talking about just a book that would be considered a living book, and any book that would be considered that. They say, it's a book that extends beyond an assignment or the casual attention of a classroom and reaches deeply into a person's thoughts, feelings, sensibilities, personhood. They write, living books change people. So that's just somebody that's an educator, and they were talking about textbooks or books of literature that people would read. And they classify some of them as living books because they change people. Well, the Bible is the ultimate living book. It shows us how to live and to succeed. And the truth in the Bible always remains true, no matter what age we are living in. You could be living in the Stone Age or in today's information age, and the truth of the Bible is still true and still valuable and still essential. God's Word should reach deeply into our thoughts and feelings. And more than that, God's Word should guide our thoughts and feelings. So how should we feel? How should we think? What should we think about? How should we handle the tests and trials of our lives? The Bible shows us. It's a living book. And the Bible is a history book that shows us what has been, even before mankind existed. It shows us why the current evils in this world, and it shows us what will be in the future. So if you want to talk about a living book, nothing is like the Bible. How do we go about studying the Bible? Where do we begin? Sometimes that's a struggle for people because they look at it and they're sort of overwhelmed, or maybe they just read it from the front to the back and they're not sure what a lot of it means. How do we go about it? The Correspondence Course says, we feel you will understand the Bible better and find it more interesting if you view it all, its history and prophecy, its teachings and divine revelations, from the vantage point of your life here and now. The Bible will become clearer if you see how world events have led up to the very time and conditions in which you live and what the future has in store for you and all of mankind. And so that brings us back to where we started in Daniel. The scripture we read there in the very beginning in Daniel 12 and verse 4, where he said, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Even to the time of the end, there's going to be this increase in knowledge. People are going to be running to and fro. And the Bible's going to be there, and it's going to be accessible. And for those whose minds are opened by God and who are striving to understand, He's going to give them that knowledge they need. And the world is going to get a warning as a witness from God's Word as to what is just ahead of us. And of course, there's great news and there's some difficult news. But we have to really understand the Bible and understand where we are in history. We currently live in a time where knowledge is increasing, but we have to have the right foundation for knowledge acquisition. We have to have the right foundation for it. You can access answers to just about anything with the touch of a finger, but are they the right answers? Is it true? Is it valuable? Is it based upon the Word of God? We can have a lot of knowledge in our minds, but if it's not God's knowledge, if it's not right knowledge, if it's not built on that right foundation, it's just a lot of false information. We have to have the right foundation for knowledge acquisition. Now, Solomon, if you think about him, he was the wisest man who ever lived besides Jesus Christ. And notice why he was so wise. This is in 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 10. And we all want to be wise. 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 10, Solomon praying to God. And he says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. Who can judge this, your people, that is so great?" And if you remember the history here, of course, God told Solomon, "Look, what do you want? What do you want? Ask, and I'll give it to you." And Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom, and he received wisdom and knowledge. And where did he receive it from? God gave it to him. God gave it to him. To really have true knowledge, we must go to the Word of God and let it guide us daily. People were amazed at Solomon's wisdom. But he went to God and asked for it. And he had wisdom and knowledge. God gave that to him. Wisdom and knowledge. And he wanted to use it so that he could judge the people. He was king over Israel. And so he knew he needed great wisdom. He needed knowledge. He went to God and asked for wisdom and knowledge. And God gave it to him. God gave that to him. And we can go to God as well. And we should ask him for wisdom and knowledge. We should pray for that. But then we have to go and study his word. You know, if we ask for wisdom and knowledge and then we just don't do anything, we don't actively seek his truth, then obviously we're not going to have a lot of success there. Solomon received wisdom and knowledge from God. And we can receive wisdom and knowledge too. There's a lot of knowledge out there. We live in the information age. But we have to make sure that we're building all the knowledge on that right foundation, which is God's Word, which is the Holy Bible.
That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.